Well, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you, our listeners, hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and our listener lines are wide open, so we'll welcome your calls right now to 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Call now. We'd love to hear from you and share this this time on Basic Gospel with you. If you have a Bible question or if you're dealing with some problem issue, well, let us hear from you right now. We'll talk it through today on Basic Gospel. Again, the number, 844-322-2742. Call now because, as I said, it is Basic Gospel. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thank you, Bob. What if Christ had not been raised from the dead? We'll talk about this provocative question in just a few minutes. But first, I want to say, if you would like to be a part of today's broadcast, call this number right now, 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. We would love to talk with you, or I would love to talk with you on today's program about any particular question you might have about the Bible, about any particular problem situation that you're working through. You're looking for wisdom. You're looking for a path forward. Today is a perfect opportunity to pick up that phone and dial that toll-free number, 844-322-2742. Well, our topic for the day, what if Christ had not been raised? Yesterday, we celebrated the most important event that's ever occurred in human history, the fact that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. But what if it's just a lie? What if it's just a hoax? What if it's just a story that was made up by the disciples or different people back in that day? And what if this hoax has been perpetuated on to mankind? Well, let's look at the question. If Christ had not been raised, what would that mean to you and me? And Paul even addresses this in his letter to the Corinthians. He says in chapter 15, and if Christ had not been raised. So if you want to disprove Christianity, if you want to crumble Christianity at its very core, then disprove the resurrection, because everything in Christianity hinges on that fact. So if it's not true, then Christianity is going to crumble, and it's going to crumble into a pile of nothingness. And here's what I mean. So if Christ had not been raised, then the first thing that we would know is that Christ, Jesus Christ himself, would be a liar. Now, that seems like a bold statement. I mean, he taught a lot of good things. He seemed to be a good moral person. But if he had not been raised, then he would have lied about the fact that he was going to be raised. In Matthew chapter 16 and 17 and several other places in the gospel accounts, he said this in chapter 16 in verse 21. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised back to life. In chapter 17, he says this, as they were gathering in Galilee, Jesus said to them, the Son of Man is about to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and he will be raised on the third day. And they were greatly distressed, the disciples were. So Christ spoke these words to them, that on the third day he was going to be raised from the dead. So if that didn't happen, that would make Jesus Christ a liar, which would mean he would not be the Son of God. A liar can't be the Son of God. God is truth. Jesus Christ said, I am the way and the truth. Well, if he lied about being raised from the dead, that would make him a liar, and he can't be the way, the truth, and the life. He couldn't be the Son of God. It would also mean that the claims that he made about himself are false, that those things that he said, that he was the bread of life, that he was the resurrection and the life, that he is the way, the truth, and the life, that he is the vine, and all of these things that he claimed about himself, I and the Father are one, would be false claims. They would not be true, because the resurrection didn't occur, which was the stamp saying that everything about Jesus, everything that he claimed about himself, everything that he did, everything that he taught was indeed true and was a message from God to mankind. It would also mean, if Christ had not been raised, that the religious leaders of that day were right to judge him as a blasphemer. That's what they accused him of, and that's what they found him guilty of. And that's why they handed Jesus over to Pilate to be crucified, because they believed that Jesus had broken their law. And the law of Moses says that anyone who blasphemes the name of God should be stoned to death by the whole community. So many times that Jesus made claims that, for example, he and the Father were one, or some other claims that before Abraham he said, "I am." The Jews picked up stones to stone him. They were just carrying out what the law commanded them to do in the case of blasphemy. So if the resurrection had not occurred, Jesus would be a liar. He would not be the Son of God. Those claims about himself were false, and the religious leaders would have been right to judge him as a blasphemer. Why? Because he really was just a mortal man claiming to be God. So he's a liar and maybe a lunatic as well. It would also mean that the testimony of the law and the prophets concerning Jesus is false. I mean, as Jesus said to those two disciples on the road to Emmaus, he took them through the old scriptures, the law and the prophets, and he explained everything concerning himself, that the Messiah must suffer and die and yet be raised on the third day. He explained that out of the law and the prophets. Well, if Jesus had not been raised, then the testimony of the law and the prophets is false as well, which would mean the Word of God loses its authority in our lives. It would mean this, that his death on the cross is meaningless. I mean, we see powerful statements about the cross of Jesus Christ, that Jesus offered himself up once and for all to take away our sins, to cleanse us, to make us holy, to make us perfect in the sight of God. Well, if he had not been raised from the dead, then he's just a mere man, a liar, hanging on a cross. And his death would not have any meaning as far as our sins were concerned, as far as our status before God. All of that would be robbed from the cross of Jesus Christ. So if Christ had not been raised, it would rob the cross of its power. The next thing is this, that the preaching of the apostles, that would be false as well. Why? Because they preached that this Jesus, the Messiah, whom was crucified, God raised from the dead. That was the message. One of my friends recently worked through the book of Acts, and he looked for any reference to resurrection. And over 25 times in the book of Acts, the apostles mentioned the resurrection of Jesus Christ as the centerpiece of our hope that we now have, because we can have eternal life through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So their preaching would be false. They would just be perpetuating a lie that somebody made up and foisted on them. So these are seven of the observations I've made. So that would make the apostles liars as well. It would also make us who preach the resurrection of Jesus Christ today liars as well. The message of Christianity would be false. Why? Because everything in Christianity hinges on the resurrection of Jesus. I mean, everything. If Jesus had not been raised, that house of cards would just crumble immediately. And then finally, the last observation, if Christ had not been raised, we ourselves are without hope in this world, and we are still in our sins. And as Paul writes, we should be pitied of all people. But here's the truth. In fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. There is irrefutable proof, historical evidence that is rock solid. And you cannot argue with the fact that Jesus Christ was crucified, just as he said. He was buried, just as he said. And he was raised back to life on the third day, just as he said. And what does that mean? Well, here's what it means to you and me. Just as Christ was raised from the dead physically, you and I are raised from the dead spiritually. We cross over from death to life. We're made alive together with Jesus. We can have fellowship with God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son and enjoy his love and his life forever. And because his life is indestructible, our new life in Christ is indestructible as well. Because he lives forever, guess what? We live forever. This is how important this truth is, that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. If he had not been raised, we've got nothing, folks. But because he's been raised from the dead, we have everything. I mean everything in Jesus Christ. And that's good news. Well, I'm Bob Christopher. This is Basic Gospel. Thank you for tuning in. And we have plenty of open lines right now at 844-322-2742. We would love to hear from you on this particular broadcast. Like I said, if you have a question about a particular Bible passage, a situation that you're going through, let's talk about it. Let's get into the Word of God and see the hope that God gives us, see the truth that God gives us. So call right now, 844-322-2742. Well, we have a wonderful resource that we want to put in your hands. This fact of the resurrection is the place skeptics attack more than any other place. Yes, they talk about the existence of Jesus. They talk about the authority of the Word of God. But everything kind of is stacked up on whether or not Jesus Christ was really raised from the dead or not. So we put together a CD series to help you examine the historical evidence, to work through some of the evidence and come to your own conclusion. And that's important. We don't want to ride the coattails of faith of somebody else. We want to know for ourselves. And when we know for ourselves, we can experience true assurance and true confidence in our day-to-day lives. So this series is designed to give you confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ and that what he said about himself is true, what he did on your behalf and taking away your sins was indeed true, it was effective, and as a result, you are a forgiven person, and even more than that, you are alive in Jesus Christ. So we want you to have that confidence, we want you to have that assurance, but we also want you to be equipped to engage in conversations with others who are questioning the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So this is a wonderful resource. It is called Proof. It is our way of saying thank you for your gift to Basic Gospel this month. So if you would like to give, become a part of Basic Gospel Nation, if you're already a part of Basic Gospel Nation, a financial partner, we encourage you to give as well. Help us continue telling the world this good news that Jesus Christ is alive. Go to basicgospel.net. That's our website right there on the front page. You're going to see a donate button in the upper right-hand corner. Click that, follow all the instructions, and then request your copy of Proof. We'll get it into your hands as quickly as possible. Well, again, my name is Bob Christopher. This is Basic Gospel. Plenty of open lines for you right now, 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. Well, we had some good comments. Linda, who is watching us on YouTube today, said this: the gospel is not about making bad people good. It's about making dead people alive. And that's exactly right. Jesus didn't come into this world to make us good people, to produce a better version of ourselves. No, we were dead in trespasses and sins. We needed life. So Jesus came into this world so that we might have life. And the resurrection, the power of the resurrection, that power that God directed toward Jesus and raised him up out of that empty tomb is the exact same power he directs toward you when you believe the gospel. When this good news of Jesus touches your heart, the power of resurrection raises you up, crosses you over from death to life. That's why this is such good news for anyone. And that's why we proclaim it as often as we can and to as many people as we can. Now, we had this question from Alden, who is also watching us on YouTube today. The question is of the topic, but how do I apply the grace of God in business or future goals? And that is a great question. How do we apply the grace of God in business? Well, certainly business, you want to do whatever business you're in for the glory of God. So you may be working for a profit. You may be working to make money. You may be working to provide a service or a product to help meet needs of people, and all those things are wonderful, but those should come under the umbrella of working for the glory of God. So in business, you have an opportunity to shine as who you really are, as a child of God, someone who has been forgiven, someone who has been cleansed, someone who has a new heart because of the transforming power of the gospel. So wherever you are, you want to reflect that image of God through you. You want to reflect that new identity out into the world. And so that's one of the things that you want to do in business, is simply be you, be a child of God. The second thing, as far as business is concerned, is you want to treat others as God has treated you. You want to love others as God has loved you. You want to forgive others as God in Christ has forgiven you. So it's really going to be significant in your relationships one with another. You want to be truthful. You want to be honest. You don't want to hide behind lies because of fear or because you might lose your status or whatever it might be. So you want to be honest. And I think the grace of God will lead you down that path. Jesus Christ, it says in John 1:14, that he dwelt among us. He became flesh and dwelt among us as the one full of grace and truth. So those go hand in glove, don't they? So we want to be truthful. We want to be honest. I remember a number of years ago, I moved to Dallas, transferred to Dallas, Texas, to be a branch manager for a manufacturing company. And we had 10 or 12 sales reps that worked out of this particular branch in Dallas. And there was one in particular that was very meticulous about his sales. He wanted them to just go off without a hitch. He demanded the highest price. He always got the highest price because he always offered the best service. And he sent an order in one day. I got the order and had our warehouse guy fulfill that. And then we sent it out. Well, it was wrong. It was a wrong order. I messed it up. I took responsibility. And this guy came in, and you could just see steam coming out of his ears. He was really, really mad. And I looked at him and said, listen, I messed up. This is my fault. I've already called the customer, and I've told them what happened and how the order got messed up. And now we're trying to fix it. And all of a sudden, that steam turned off, and he got a big smile on his face, and he said, Bob, I want to get mad at you, but I just can't. That telling me the truth just diffused this whole situation. How can I help you make this order get right? And so that truthfulness really bridged the gap that could have been there. It tore down a wall, and it just got rid of all of his anger. And we were able to work on that and to salvage the order and to deepen our relationship with that particular customer. So we want to always tell the truth. So those are some things that I would suggest as far as applying the grace of God in business. Future goals, we certainly can plan goals. We don't want to necessarily plan, how they're going to come out because they don't always come out the way we want them to. So we need to leave the results in God's hands. We make the plans, we work toward those, and we leave the results with God. And I think when we do, that takes the stress off of us. We don't get down on ourselves when the goal doesn't turn out like we want it to be. So we can just go about our business. We can take joy in doing that. And then we can leave the results in God's hands and trust that whatever happens is for our best, for our ultimate benefit, and for the ultimate benefit of others as well. So, Alden, hope that helps. That's a great question, a wonderfully practical question on how we share or how we express the grace of God in our day-to-day lives. So hope that helps, Alden. We certainly appreciate it. Well, again, this is Basic Gospel. 844-322-2742 is the number. We had this question from Martin, who wrote to us about a church that he is going to, and he has come to an understanding of the grace of God and the new covenant in his life, and his church had a change in the pastor, and the pastor has kind of gone back to old covenant ways, so to speak. And he's had a conversation with the pastor, and the pastor has called him out from the pulpit and says basically that he is gnat straining, that we don't want to take one doctrine and go off on a tangent. We don't need any new doctrines. We don't need to get tangled up in hair splitting. And he asked, is it time to leave this church? And in a word, yes, it would be time to leave this church. Because here's a pastor who doesn't understand the significance of the grace of God, doesn't understand the significance of this new covenant that we live in today. The grace of God isn't just a doctrine, one doctrine in a list of many. The grace of God is everything. It is by grace that we are saved. It is by grace that we are sustained. It is by grace that we learn to say no to worldly temptations and unrighteousness, and to live righteous, upright lives in this present generation. It's the grace of God that builds us up. It's the grace of God that energizes us to love and serve others. The grace of God is everything. And so if you just put it off in a corner and say, it's just one in a list of many, we'll get to it when we do, you're never going to let the people that you're ministering to understand the significance of the grace of God. So if you've had a conversation with the pastor and there is a bridge there, a gap there that doesn't look like can be crossed, then I think it is time to leave and move on and try to find a church that truly is lifting up Jesus, lifting up the grace of God, lifting up the truth of God that is bound up in Jesus Christ himself and this new covenant that we live in. I mean, one last word on this. Romans says that since we've been justified by faith, we now have peace with God, and we have gained access into this grace in which we now stand. It's the realm of existence for every single believer. If you're not talking about where they live, if you're not talking about all that grace of God means, then what message are you proclaiming? You're not proclaiming the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Martin, thanks again for that question. That was real, really good. Well, we've come to the end of today's broadcast. Thank you for being with us. We certainly enjoy being a part of your daily journey. Thanks for being a part of ours. We'll be back tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. In the meantime, go to basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. click the donate button, become a part of Basic Gospel Nation, of getting the word out that Jesus Christ is alive. And when you do donate, be sure to request your copy of Proof. We want to send this valuable resource, put it in your hands to help you grow in Christ and to equip you to share the good news with others. We'll see you tomorrow.